Ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In a second, we're going to be looking at verse 45 of Mark chapter 10. We're good. But to begin with, I do want to say thank you for being here this evening. It's always a pleasure to get to preach to you. But I will say I still am trying to Chris Presnell coming up and doing something other than preaching. It's still a little strange right now. But, Chris, I do appreciate the prayer. Justin, I appreciate the song leading. Brother Charles, I do appreciate the Bible reading. Tonight, we're going to be talking about being a servant, or to be a servant. And we're going to look at different passages. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. We'll look at that. And it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." Came to this earth. He came to this earth not so people could worship him and serve him, and they would wait on him hand and foot. But he came so he could wait hand and foot on other people. And we're going to look at that here a little bit as well. But to begin with, we need to look at what a servant actually is, and that the answer to that is a person who performs duties to others, especially a person employed in a house, on domestic duties, or a personal assistant. You see, as Christians, we are supposed to be servants to everyone around us. We're supposed to be that performs the duties to us. We're supposed to be a servant to the good, to the bad, to our neighbors. We're supposed to be a servant to anyone we come in contact with. The attitude of a servant is something that we need to make sure that we have when to being that servant. We need to make sure that we have these things, these qualities, or these understandings of what a servant actually is. And we're going to look at those. Each one has a verse tied into it, and we'll go through these. You see, the attitude of a servant is that we adopt. The attitude of a servant is that we adopt. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, it says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." We're supposed to have a mindset of servanthood. The attitude of a servant is without consideration of repayment. Luke chapter 6, verses 34 and 35, it says, "And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, but to get back the same return, and your reward will be great. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting to get nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." We're here as servants. We're not supposed to expect anything in return. We're supposed to do it out of our own good graces. We don't want anything to come back. You see, it is an unselfish attitude. We're supposed to be unselfish when it comes to being a servant. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Philippians 2, 3 through 8 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." We're supposed to be unselfish when it comes to being a servant. And the attitude of a servant is putting others first. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." In order to be a servant and to have that servant attitude, we have to have the mindset. We have to have the understanding that we don't want anything in return. We need to be unselfish when it comes to being a servant, and we need to put others first when it comes to being a servant. So from these, we see the servant attitude. We see how we're supposed to be a servant. We see how we go about being a servant. But I want to turn back to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I'm going to read it one more time. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't come here so people could serve him. He wanted to be the person serving others. And with that, we're going to look at three different things tonight when it comes to being a servant. You see, we're going to be a servant to the Scriptures. We're to be a servant to the lost, and we're to be a servant to or for God. And those are going to be our three main points for tonight. And then following that, lesson will be yours. To be a servant to the Scriptures. And what do we mean by that? I'm going to ask you a question. This is, don't raise your hand or anything. But how often do you read your Bible? How often a week do you read your Bible? How often a week do you pray? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you pray every day? Or do we only read our Bibles and pray when it's convenient for us? We're called to be servants of the Scriptures. All Christians are to be servants of the Scriptures. And what does it mean to be a servant of the Scripture? It is to humble oneself and put God first. It's to set aside everything that we're supposed to do in our day. Set aside that time to make sure we have a priority for God. It's to not be so busy that we can't make time for God. It's to make sure that no matter what we're doing throughout our day, that we have the ability to stop what we're doing and open up our Bibles and read God's Word. It is to lose your life in service to God through Scripture. It's to realize that your life is not important. What's important is making sure that you follow God. It's not all the worldly things that we do. It's not all the worldly accolades that we have or all the great things that we do in this world. It's making sure that we are a Christian. It's making sure we understand what it is like to be a Christian. It is the opposite of pride and arrogance. We'll never know everything. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a little bit, but it's making sure that we're never too prideful to read our Bible. It's making sure that we're never too arrogant to think that we know our entire Bible front to back, that we can never learn any more than what we already know. It's making sure that we humble ourselves to God. That's being a servant to the Scriptures. Jesus' definition of being a servant of the Scriptures, if you look at John chapter 13, verses 3 through 17, John chapters 13, 3 through 17, you see here he's washing his disciples' feet. He didn't come here to be served. He came here to serve others. And by him washing his disciples' feet, that shows his definition of being a servant. We're supposed to be that servant that Jesus is as well. We need to have the same mentality when it comes to reading our Scriptures, when it comes to reading the Bible. No matter how much we know, we can always learn more. No matter how much we feel like we know about the Bible or how many times we've read it from cover to cover, we can always learn more. We need to never stop learning more about the Bible. What can we do if we are servants of the Scripture? What can maybe we gain from being servants of the Scripture? You can become humbled and live for God. You can gain knowledge, and we'll talk about that in the next point as well, but you can gain knowledge from reading the Scriptures. You can increase your confidence when it comes to the Bible and evangelism. The number one excuse when it comes to evangelism and why you don't talk to other people about God, the number one excuse that comes up is because you feel like you don't know enough about your Bible. But if we were to be servants of the Scripture, if we were to dive into the Scripture every single day and learn more about what the Bible says, we can get rid of that excuse. We can gain that confidence that it takes to reach out to those around us. And like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit more here on the next couple of slides. You see, we need to be a servant to the lost. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Who is lost? Mark 16, 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. The lost are those that do not believe. The lost are those that don't believe in God, that don't believe in the Bible. that haven't been baptized. Those are the lost people. We're supposed to be servants to them. We're supposed to make sure that we take care of them as well. How can we better serve them? You see, we need to lead by example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." We're supposed to imitate Christ. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be that example. Last Sunday, I talked about wearing the hats, of wearing your Christian hat, the hat that you wear to church, making sure that you don't take that hat off and act another way at work or at school or at home or whatever you're doing. We need to lead by example. We tell the kids all the time, if you're trying to talk to somebody about God and you're telling them how that they should live, but you don't live that way, it makes you a hypocrite. They're not going to want to listen to you. We need to lead by example when it comes to serving the lost. We are to be the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We're supposed to be the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does one light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all in the house. Therefore, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to be the light of the world by being that good example, by being Christ-like and letting our light shine. We are that good example to the lost, and we are to be different. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And I feel like that scripture fits so well in today's world. We're not to be of this world. We're not to fall to what the world is doing. We're not to look at the world and make it look like what they're doing is acceptable for Christians. Because we often do that. We often see how people act around us and we get used to it. And then we kind of just, we act like that. We see how the people are, but instead we're not to be conformed to the world. We're not supposed to be of the world. We are supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to lead by example. We're supposed to be the light of the world so we can better serve the lost. So how do we make the lost found? It's simple. It's evangelism. And we talked earlier, the excuse of not knowing your Bible well enough to where you don't feel comfortable talking to other people about God. That's a common one. But we're supposed to evangelize. If we are servants of the Scripture, if we are diving into the Scripture every day or more than we usually do, and we're learning, that evangelism becomes easier. All Christians are responsible for the lost. We are to teach the lost. We are to show love and not hate. You see, we're always told to hate the sin, not the sinner, or to show that love. These people are the lost. These people are the ones that don't believe in God or haven't been baptized. They need us to show them the way. They need us to show them what God's word has to say and show them the plan of salvation and to lead them to heaven. And we need that. Once again, we need that a lot. Rejoicing in heaven will always happen when the lost are found. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses, we'll start at verse 8, we'll look at verses 8 through 10. Before this, though, you have the parable of the lost sheep. The one sheep goes away. He leaves the other sheep to go find that sheep. When he gets back, they rejoice that they found that one sheep. Then you get to the parable of the lost coin. Or what a woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We're supposed to go out and save the lost. There's rejoicing in heaven when the lost are found. We're supposed to be that light of the world. We're supposed to reach out to those around us. And I loved Chris's prayer earlier. You mentioned a lot of good things, but we prayed for our country. We prayed for the people that are lost. We prayed for the people that need us. There's a lot of bad going on in our country. There's a lot of sin happening in our country. A lot of people are upset right now. A lot of people are tense right now. But we also need to come to an understanding. You see, if we don't think that our country has good morals, if we don't think that our country is one nation under God anymore, it's the Christians' fault. It's our fault. If you weren't happy with how the election went, because you feel like their morals aren't where your morals are, we're the ones to blame. We're the ones that didn't go into the world and tell them about God. We're the ones that didn't go to the voting polls and show people who God is. It's easy for us to sit back and it's easy for us to complain over the things that we see in the world. It's easy for us to say that these people don't have good morals or the world doesn't have good morals. We're not one nation under God anymore. It's easy to complain. But it's our fault that we're in this situation because we haven't gone out and we haven't told people about God the way that we should. We can get this nation under God once again. But it's going to take us being servants to the lost. It's going to take us stepping out of our comfort zone so we can serve those that don't know about God. How much do you have to hate someone to not tell them about Jesus? How much do you have to, I said not like, how much do you have to not like someone to not tell them about Jesus? We should be proud about Jesus. We should be proud about the Bible and about being a Christian. We should want to tell everyone around us. We need to be servants to the lost. And lastly, we need to be servants to and for God. And we'll get into the to and for part in a minute. Christians are identified as workers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." We're also identified as laborers. We looked and it mentions laborers in 1 Thessalonians, but we also can look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. And it says, "And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles, and give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." We're supposed to be the laborers. We're supposed to be the workers for God. If we're going out into the world and evangelizing, we're evangelizing for God. We're being servants for God. Christians are to be servants of God. John chapter 12, verse 26, we see servanthood is a sacrifice, but it's also a privilege. Christians are to be at God's disposal. It is a sacrifice to be a servant to God. We are supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to give up the things that we would usually do to make time for God. We're making sacrifices for God. But we also forget that being a servant for God is also a privilege. And we're supposed to be at God's disposal when it comes to being servants for Him. As servants for God, we must, it's a list, as servants for God, we must plan, set goals for our work and service to God. We can't just go about it. We have to make sure that we plan out that we will serve God. We mentioned earlier about how many, do you read your Bible every single day? Or do you read your Bible in general? Oftentimes we use that excuse of, oh, well, I just don't have enough time in the day. Oh, I have too much going on. We have to plan out and set goals to make sure that we read our Bible every day, to make sure we're servants for God, to make sure we're at church and paying attention. We have to make sure we do that. And it goes along, we must prepare. As a servant for God, we must prepare. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. We must prepare. I tell the high school kids a lot, church does not start on Sunday morning. Church starts on Saturday night when you're getting ready. Church starts on Saturday night when you decide to go to bed a little bit earlier so you can wake up and be well rested and get to church so you can give God your everything. We must prepare. To be a servant, and as a servant for God, we must engage ourselves in worship. Once again, it starts on Saturday night, making sure that you're ready to worship, making sure that you can get engaged with worship, making sure that you can glorify God to the best of your ability every time you come to church. And lastly, we have to finish what we start. And that's a big one. We have all these New Year's goals. We have all these ideas of how we want our new year to go. And it's fun. We're all excited about people wanting to lose weight or people not wanting to drink sodas. Or those are my two things. I've already failed on the soda part. But that's my point. We have to finish what we start. We can claim that we're going to be better Christians. We can say that we're going to read our Bible every single day this year. We can say that we're going to pay more attention. We're going to say we're going to give more to God. But we have to finish what we start. We have to make sure that that happens. We need to be servants for God. We must influence others, or we must influence each other to be active when it comes to worshiping God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habits of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see a day draw, or as you see the day drawing near." Chris spoke about it not too long ago. We're supposed to make sure that we're here for church. We're supposed to make sure that we're holding each other accountable. That when we see people missing for a couple of weeks, I know times are a little bit different with COVID, and we have a lot of people watching online. But check in on those people. Make sure people are paying attention. Make sure people that us Christians right now aren't just going through the motions of church. Make sure they're not just going through the motions of turning on their online service and just sitting there and doing something else while it's playing in the background. We're supposed to be different from this world. We're supposed to be that bright light of this world. We're supposed to be servants for God, and we're supposed to hold each other accountable and make sure that we are active when it comes to worshiping God, when it comes to serving God. And in closing, it was a quote and with a verse I had found in a book I was reading last week. It says, "True leadership is servanthood, and the greatest leader of all time is Jesus Christ. Servanthood is the attitude exemplified by Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God and the thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant." Philippians 2, 6 through 7. We are to be servants for God. Tonight we talked about being servants to the Scripture. We talked about being servants to the lost. And we talked about being servants to God. All of those go hand in hand. There's a lot of the overlap that you can put between all of those. There's a lot of things that just mix together. But we need to make sure we're being servants of God. We need to make sure that we have God as a priority in our life so we can make sure that we are servants of the Scripture, so we can gain that wisdom, we can gain that understanding and that knowledge, so we can be better servants to the lost. We need to make sure that we're reaching out to those around us. We need to make sure that we're looking to make this nation one nation under God once again. It's up to us to show the lost who Jesus is. It's up to us to show the lost what the Bible says. Tonight, you might not have been a servant for God here recently. You might have fallen away. You might have been struggling. You have an opportunity tonight to come before the church and ask for forgiveness, ask for prayers, ask for encouragement. You have that opportunity tonight, or maybe you haven't been baptized and you've realized tonight that you want to be a servant for God, that you want to serve Him and you want to glorify Him in everything that you do. You also have the opportunity tonight to come forward and be baptized and enter into His family. If you have any need tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.